Brother Phil is out of town. He's over in Virginia preaching today, Easter service. So let's remember him in prayer. When I pray today, I also want to pray over a cloth here to give to Sister Roberts, for Nicholas. You know, we know that Nicholas needs to give his life to the Lord, and but he's been really ill lately, and he's having some mental issues and things. And of course, you know, when you are so far away from God, why, you know, you've got nothing to protect you, and Satan is surely trying to take him down. So I want to just been asked to pray over this prayer cloth, you know, and so we know that when in the Bible it says when they took cloths from the body of Paul, if they laid them on anyone that was sick, they were healed. If they were possessed with evil spirits, that the evil spirits would leave them. And but ultimately what the desire is that he would turn his heart toward God. I also want to ask for your prayer for my family, especially up in Ohio. I just received word just a few minutes ago that my Aunt Linda, which had been one of my dad's sisters, she passed away about 9 minutes after 10 their time, which would have been a little after 9 our time. So she, you know, a year or two ago, she had a lung transplant. She had COPD, and then she'd had a lung transplant, and she seemed to do all right after she recovered from that for about a year. And then she's just had one thing. Seemed like she went through after another and that, but the good news is that, you know, she had actually give her life to the Lord and accepted this end time truth several years ago when my grandmother, her mother, was still alive. And what caused her, she started feeling a pull, a draw toward the Lord. And so my grandmother was in the nursing home, so she went and told my grandmother, I'm going to take you out on Sunday and take you to church. And my grandmother said, well, I won't go to any other church but Jim's church. And that was my father. And so, you know, because my grandmother, she believed this end time message. And so my Aunt Linda told her, said, I'll take you to Jim's church, you know. So when she started going there, and as she began to hear the message, something really clicked. And so she went back home and she got into a dresser drawer in the bottom of the drawer under some clothes, and she pulled out some books of Brother Branham that my grandfather had given her years ago. And she had never got rid of them. She had just put them down in the bottom of her drawer and left them there. And so she, after hearing the message preached and things for a few different services and that, she went home, dug these books out, and began to read them. And her testimony was, this is what my daddy was trying to tell me so many years ago. And, you know, I got a picture of my grandfather back in my office, and it's of him sitting in the home of one of his children, and someone snapped the picture of him. But what he was doing, he was sitting there, and you could see his hands out like this. He was actually witnessing to them about the message. He was a backslider from the Church of God, and you know, he had come back to the Lord, accepted the message, and he lived for about 7 months or so from the time that he accepted the message. But during that time, He was testifying of it everywhere. And so he testified of it to his children that weren't serving the Lord. He gave them books and things and that, but here it just clicked with her, and she said, this is what he was trying to tell me so many years ago. And so she just, you know, that was several years ago, and she just kept moving right on in to the Lord. And she, I talked to my mother on the phone, was Friday, and by Friday she had, Aunt Linda had already been in the hospital about a week. And so when my mother wanted me to call her this past Friday and said that she had been on a conference call with Aunt Linda and the doctor and Aunt Linda's daughter, and she, you know, Aunt Linda told them, I don't want you doing no more surgeries. And she said she was ready. And she was just said, I'm just tired. You know, she was tired of fighting for this life. And she said, I'm ready. And so just remember the family there in prayer. Remember me in prayer. I will try my best to see what the arrangements are and try to make a trip up there to be there for the funeral. So just remember us in prayer this week. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're so thankful, dear God, for this day, knowing, dear God, that you rose from the dead. And Lord, we've come this day, Father, and we want to honor that, God. And Lord, we ask for Brother Phil that's out of town preaching, Lord, this Sunday, Lord, there in Galax, Virginia, that you'll be with him, anoint him this morning, dear God. And Father, just bless the people there. I pray for your blessings on us here this morning, dear God. And Lord, while I'm here, I ask God, as I lay my hand on this handkerchief, God, that you, Father, will come, Father, and Lord, to prove your word, that you're still Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I anoint this now, dear God. And Father, I'll keep it on my body while I preach under your anointing, dear God. And I pray, dear God, that you will, Father, deal with Nicholas in his life. And God, we're not just asking for just a physical touch or a mental touch. Lord, we're asking for a spiritual touch. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. We give you glory. Amen. You know, today we come and we honor that this is the day of giving honor to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he arose from the dead. And I always like to honor that, and not by just delivering to you, just some speech about the resurrection, or something, but actually bringing a fitting Easter message, a fitting message of the resurrection that will speak to us today, that will raise him out of history, that he is alive today. Amen. And so turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And what I'll title this service today is The Message of the Gospel. The Message of the Gospel. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. You may be seated. I don't want to just give you a story today of how Jesus was crucified and rose on the third day, but I want to actually bring you a message that he is alive today. And but thinking back, if you think back to when that Jesus was crucified, and they took and they laid his body in a tomb, which was a burial, and then you think about his disciples. Here, you know, they had thought great things were going to be. They, even though that Jesus began to tell them that he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and that, they you know, Peter, we know, even kind of rebuked Jesus when he said that. And, you know, they actually had believed that he had come to remain with them. They did not actually see what was going to happen or actually entertain in their minds that he was going to go away. And you think there were so many things that he said while he was there that would have, if they would have had understanding of it, if it had been revealed to them what he was actually saying, they would have realized what was going to happen. And that, but even though Jesus spoke it, many times, you know, God speaks things to his people, to the people, and at the time, many times when it's being spoke, you know, it's not actually revealed to the people that time. Because many times, because we're, you know, humans are people who most generally, we kind of have a thing to kind of live in our emotions. And we, you know, we get excited about things. Christians, believers, they get excited about things, and they kind of, you know, because we're human, we have a tendency sometimes to really live in the moment. And the disciples were living in the moment. Remember when the two were on the road to Emmaus, and when Jesus drew near, and they didn't know who he was, you know, and they were talking about Jesus and what all had happened, and how that what they thought was going to happen, and how they were actually so tore up because he had been crucified, he had died, and now this one that they had thought was the Messiah, here he was gone. It was over, you know, and so they were really confused. And you think about, you know, they were confused, but The thing was, there were so many things Jesus had told them about what was going to happen. If they would have actually caught on to that, they wouldn't have been confused at that time. But you realize that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And you realize there are things that God speaks, that when he speaks it many times, it's things that, man can't reason with it. Many of the things that God has done and has said in that, science can't prove it. You know, it's actually many times against science. You know, when God told Noah, think about it, when God told Noah, I'm going to make it rain 40 days, 40 nights, you know, if you don't realize that it had never happened before that, you don't think so much about it, but you realize that the earth was watered from a mist that rose up from the ground before that time. So water had never fell out of the sky. You know, we look at it now scientifically and say, how in the world could that be?
be possible, because scientifically we prove how water is evaporated from the earth and caught up into clouds, and then the clouds get full and down comes the water and all that. But that had never happened. So it was unscientific what Noah was saying. And there's many things, you know, that, well, even when God spoke to Moses and told him that he was going to send him back and going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, you know, friends, look, Pharaoh and all that, he looked at his armies and his might and everything, and here were these Hebrews that, you know, they didn't have no army. They didn't have any weapons. They didn't have any might. You know, they just had a multitude. But, you know, the thing was, you know, he would look at it and say, there's no way possible. I don't got to be afraid of this. But see, the power of God, you know, it's contrary to science. You honestly, you can't scientifically prove God and prove God's power. And you can't scientifically prove it. His power is here today. You know, people look and say, well, we've got an empty tomb to point at that proves Jesus rose from the grave. Well, if that be entirely so, that that's all it takes to prove it, and that, then why is it that the Jews have to yet to this day never accepted that? Isn't there time for that to be revealed to them? But here was the disciples, they were kind of groping around and wandering around, and Brother Ram said perhaps they were wondering, what are we supposed to do now? Are we supposed to observe certain days? Are we supposed to have this, you know, the observe the Passover? Are we supposed to wash one another's feet? What are we supposed to be doing? You know, we thought he was going to be with us and he's gone. But then he rose from the grave. He had told them, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Now, you think about that. We look at him and say, we know exactly what he was talking about. Peter and the rest of them didn't have a clue at that time. They did not know. You know, because you look in the scripture and you see that the Pharisees and that, they were looking around and saying, they were looking at the temple that Solomon had built there in Jerusalem, and they said, he could rebuild this in 3 days? Because that's where he was standing, in that temple. But that wasn't the temple he was talking about. He was talking about the temple, the body. His body was what he was talking about. But, you know, Peter and the other disciples, they didn't know that's what he was talking about. I imagine they were standing there looking around thinking the same thing. Well, okay, but if he says it, okay. I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. You know, which is a frame of mind we need to have. There's many times there's things we don't understand, but if we know it's the word of God, just believe it. But I can tell you this, friends, look, we're not going to be raptured out of here without having an understanding of the word of God that applies up to that point in time. God will bring you the understanding. You know, the gospel, the word gospel, and that it means good news. So when Christ, the Messiah, was born, that was good news. When he died for the sins of man, when he took all of our sins upon him and took our place, took man's place to redeem man by taking his place, that was good news. But when he arose from the dead, that was really good news. Brother Branham said that was news that had never been before. And, you know, the gospel means good news. But now, the message of Christ. What is the message of the gospel? The message of the gospel is to prove Jesus Christ is risen. Now, to prove Jesus Christ is risen is not just looking over in Jerusalem and saying there's a tomb there that's empty where he lay. And there's nobody there now. Proving that Jesus is risen, it's more than just believing that a man named Jesus Christ was the Godhead made bodily on earth, that he died and rose on the third day. That's history. But what, Brother Branham said, what is the essence of the gospel? What is the essence of the message of the gospel? The essence of the message is that he is alive today. Not just that he rose 2,000 years ago. You know, and look, friends, our message is actually, the requirement of our message, us spreading the gospel, is not just it convincing people that Jesus Christ rose 2,000 years ago, but it's actually, the message is to prove and show that he is alive today. And we cannot do that with just the word only. The gospel is not just the word. We are beneficiaries of his resurrection. In Hebrews 13 and 8 says, he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we, as his beneficiaries of his resurrection, we prove that his life is alive here today. Our commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach it that he is living. But Brother Branham said, we cannot do that with just the word alone. The gospel, it did not come just in word, but it came through power and manifestation of the Spirit. And it's through manifestation of the power and Spirit of God that it proves that he's still alive today. Now, we recently, on Thursdays, we were studying out of 2 Corinthians, and we brought up how Paul said that, I'm ashamed that you've been so moved to another gospel. You know, he says, I'm afraid that, that another Jesus will be preached, another gospel. And today, that's actually what's been presented to the people. And many people, you know, preachers are getting up today, and they're bringing an Easter message, and they're talking about how great it is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But the gospel actually they're bringing, they're pointing the people to a church. They're pointing them to doctrines of churches. They're pointing them to the creeds or ideas of a church, an organization. They're pointing them to the creeds that actually are that men have made up. You know, if, you know, we believe this, and if you do that, and you do this and that, then you're saved. If you're a member of the church and these things. And the thing about it is, you know, friends, they're not actually getting the people to Christ. to bringing the people to a church. Brother Bram said to a church theory. And what they're bringing him to is something that, even though they're saying Jesus Christ is alive, that he's risen from the dead, they're not actually able to bring to the people the life of Christ. They're not actually able to bring to the people that he actually is alive today. What they're actually bringing them to is a dead church life. Now, look, we realize, you know, as we read, if the spirit of that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. And we know that spirit to be the Holy Ghost. And we know that the Bible teaches us that it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed until the day of redemption. Now, we know that Jesus died for our redemption, but the day when redemption is fulfilled completely is friend, when the resurrection takes place, and those who are alive and remain, their bodies are changed. That's when everything begins to come into a fuller picture of the redemption of what Jesus Christ died for. So the scripture tells us that Spirit of God has sealed us. Now what that means is it keeps us. It preserves us. With the things that we go through in this life, with the trials and the tests and the oppositions and the attacks of the enemy and everything that we face in this life, what is it that helps us through that? What is it that preserves and keeps us? Friends, it's not us being sincere. It's not us, you know, having great sincerity or having a great will, but it's actually the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. Because there are times when this flesh gets under the burden of the things you're going through, and the flesh wants to quit. The flesh wants to give up. But there's something down inside you, a life that's inside you, that says, I'm not going to quit. I can't give up. It's like when Brother Branham was going through those things we talked about on Thursday night, you know, his wife dying, his little baby dying, and all these things that were against him, you know. And he said, and the devil came and talked to him and said, after all you've done for him, and this is how he treats you? And Brother Branham said, I was just about ready to say, well, if that's the way he is. See, that was his flesh. He was so burdened, his flesh under such a load of it. And he said, I was about ready to say, if that's the way he is. He said, but when I opened my mouth, what came out was, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And there's those times, friends, when we our flesh is ready to quit. It's ready to give up. But there is a life that's been quickened inside of us that says, no, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. No matter what I've got to go through, no matter what it costs me, I'm continuing for the Lord. No matter who's against me, no matter what people say about me, no matter who turns against me, turns their back on me, it doesn't matter if my family does, my friends does, whoever does, I'm still walking and serving the Lord. And there's something in us, Father, friends, that tells us that we have the truth. And we will not turn our back on the truth. So you think about people that's been, all they've been brought to is a church life, and then think about when they go through things. There's nothing to hold them. When they're faced with temptation, they have nothing in them to actually keep them. Because a church, you know, a loyalty to a church, a name on a membership book isn't going to do that. Amen. they are brought actually to the life of a dead man, a dead church. A church life, it's death. Think about this. People that are trying to overcome alcoholism and trying to overcome addictions and different things like that. And you know, there's programs out there. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody from that or anything. But I'm going to say this. You know, friends, look. That's not what's going to deliver him. Feeling like you want to take a drink and calling up a sponsor on the phone to kind of help you through that, I'm going to tell you what, that is not the life that Jesus Christ actually offers to us. And it won't hold. It won't hold. It won't keep. I'm going to tell you this, dude. For people to do that, they've got to have confidence in their sponsors. Well, I'm going to tell you something. How many of them sponsors have fell off the wagon? I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just, what I'm trying to point at is Jesus Christ offers so much more.
He sure does.
You know, I'm not offering you a church life to where you start going through things and you say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call up Brother Jerry to help me through this. I'm going to tell you something. I'm preaching to you that there is a life that you can have in you that will carry you through it all. Of course, as your pastor, I'm there to be a help and assistance and encouragement and give you prayer and different things and stand with you and all that. But you need the life yourself. I'm not pointing people to me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not pointing people to a man. I'm pointing people to the life of Jesus Christ. Brother Ram says, if the life of a man that's risen is projected in you, then that same life he lived, you'll live.
Amen.
If you're anointed with the spirit of the life that was in Jesus Christ, then as we read in Romans, it said, if the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken you. It'll quicken your mortal body. And we'll tell you something, friends. There's already, well, this isn't speaking just of, you know, sometimes people look at it and think, well, it's speaking of quickening our body to give us the body change. No, we're talking about also a quickening that happens within your soul that brings that seed gene of God to life. We're talking about being born again, actually having the life of Christ in you. Now, he came here to redeem us so that we could have the same life, so that we could have the same power. Seeds of God that were foreknown before the foundation of the world. Names that were on the Lamb's Book of Life. He came to redeem that. And in redeeming that, friends, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, greater than this shall you do, for I go to my Father. That's the King James, greater than this, which the actual interpretation is more of the same. The gospel light today, the gospel light of resurrection is confirmation that Jesus Christ is alive today. Not just that he rose from the grave, he lived here, he died, he rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven, but that his spirit is here today in us. You know, how do we know that Brother Branham asked the question, so how do we know that he was the Christ? Because he proved what he said he would do. He did it. He said that, you know, he would raise from the grave, and he did it. He said he was sent there to heal the sick and to give the blind sight, and he did it. In the days of Moses, what he said he was going to do, remember what he told Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. Then when the day came, in the days of Moses, it was time for God to come down and prove what he told Abraham he was going to do, that he proved that it would happen by doing it. He proved his word. He proved his promise. In the days of the apostles, he proved that he was alive. Not by, again, walking on the earth in the body of a man called Jesus, but actually he proved he was alive in the apostles. And the thing about it was, friends, there's nowhere you can ever find in the scriptures where Jesus or any of the apostles ever said that that was just to them in their day. But the message of the gospel actually keeps carrying on. Look, the message of the gospel for us today is not actually just to prove that Jesus was risen from the dead and alive and confirming his word through the apostles, but that Jesus Christ manifests that today through us. How did they know that he was the Christ? He proved what he said. How did they know the message of Moses was correct? God came down and proved it. How did they know the message of the apostles was right? It come down and proved by showing that the power of the resurrection within the men. So how do we know the message of the hour is right? Because, we say, well, he come down and he proved it during the ministry of Brother Branham. But what about today? Look, for us just to point back and point people, and look, friends, look, I know, and don't get me wrong, I believe we need to let people know God did send a prophet. He did send an end time truth. But we need to show we believe this end time proof and show that this end time proof is true by showing through our lives that Jesus Christ is risen. Look, what I'm telling you is the organizations out there, they can't prove that. They can't show it. All they can do is they can point at something that happened. And they pointed other displays within their midst, like speaking in tongues. And look, speaking in tongues, yes, that is the Lord. It is the Lord that does that. But I can tell you, that's also something that Satan can copy. So he proved it in the days of Moses. He proved it in the days of Christ. He proved it in the days of the apostles. He proved it in the days of Enoch. Now on this day, he proves it. He proved it in the day of Brother Branham. But God is still proving that he is alive today in our midst. Your life that others see is proof that Jesus Christ is alive. think about this, a man that maybe you walked in sin, maybe right here in this city, maybe right around this you know, this general area, this region, and you lived a life in sin, and people knew you as that. But something changed in you one day, and it changed who you were. And you've got no desire to live that way. You know, the thing was, you might have thought at one time, I need to be better. I need to be a better person. I need to not do these things. I need to quit this and I need to quit that. But you couldn't do it, because there was a desire in you to do those things. But then one day something happened in you. What was that something that happened? What happened in you, it wasn't that Jesus Christ rose 2,000 years ago. It was that the manifestation of that resurrection came alive and was made known to you that day. Because it was made known in your life, something came to life and it changed who you were. And it changed your desire. It took away those desires for the worldly things. They no longer held that importance hold over your head. And you were delivered from the devil that was oppressing you. And so you live a different life in front of people. And you know, there may be some of them, they still think about you the way you were then. But when they look at you now, you're different. And I'll tell you what, friends, that is a testimony to them that Jesus Christ is alive today, not just alive in heaven, but alive in you. It's a testimony. We've received redemption. We've been redeemed back to God. We've been redeemed back to the life. So resurrection actually manifested in you. Hallelujah. Jesus tells us that when the gospel, in Matthew, he tells us when the gospel has been preached to all kindreds, tongues, and nation, then the end will come. Brother Branham said, you know, the gospel is commonly believed to be the word of God. He said it is in one sense, but it's not that entirely. The word of God, the gospel is not the word of God alone. Because we realize, friends, look, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. There's a lot of people that walk around with what we call the word of God, the Bible. And it hasn't done a thing for them. We've had people come in here. You know, we've had people come in here saying, well, I'm getting back to God. I'm reading the Bible now. And the very Bible they're reading, they stole out of a hotel somewhere because it says the Gideons donated it to that hotel. And then you see that nothing ends up happening to them, and they end up right back out there. Why? Because nothing changed in here. The resurrection was never manifest in their life. And therefore, they're not partakers of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they don't have the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. So there's nothing to quicken them. So therefore, there's nothing to keep them. They're not sealed. it takes us to the parables that Jesus gave about the seeds that were sown. Some of them were sown in stony ground. Some of them fell in by the wayside. They sprung up with joy. Seemed like, yeah, we're Christians. We're going to go. We're going to make it. They were enthused. But then something comes along. The cares of life choke them out. The things of the world choke them out. The temptation of the things of the world choke them out. The what it costs, what it's going to cost them, chokes them out. Well, I don't want to give that up. Well, if I can serve God and still dress this way and still do those things and all that, okay, fine. Friends, look, if the life that was in Jesus Christ was in them, then you'll live the life that Jesus lived. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus didn't smoke pot. Jesus didn't do cocaine. Jesus didn't cuss and swear and all kind of tell dirty jokes and everything else. Now, look, before Peter was converted, before he received the Holy Ghost, we know that Peter went out and they were saying, "You're one of them." He said, "I'm not. I don't know the man." They said, "No, your speech gives you away. You're one of them." And the Bible said even swore and said, "No, I'm not." But then Peter was in the upper room and there was something happened in his life. Something changed. The resurrection of Jesus, it wasn't just, friends, look, they came and they went to tell the disciples because that was their message of their gospel was, go tell him, go tell my disciples, I'm risen. And so they went to tell him that he was risen, and they were like, "No, maybe you saw somebody else. That doesn't sound right." But then, and realize this is before the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, had come to dwell in mankind. But then Jesus came to him. And then they realized he is risen. It is true. And he told them, "Look, I don't want you running around telling everybody right now. What I want you to do is I want you to go and tarry until you're endued with power from on high. You just going around telling people that I've rose from the dead, it ain't going to do it. That's not the gospel. What you got to do is you got to manifest that I have risen. And before you can manifest that I have risen, you've got to get power from on high. You've got to receive my spirit." And then when they came out of the upper room and they had received the Holy Ghost, then we find a little bit later that Peter goes out and he goes down to the gate that's called Beautiful. And there was a lame man and he said, Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Take up your bed and walk." Takes him by the hand, lifts the man up, and he's whole. And those around marveled and wondered at it. And Peter then, he has opportunity now. He says, "It wasn't me that did this. It's Jesus Christ that is risen. It was a manifestation through the life of the apostles that Jesus Christ was alive because they were doing the same things that he did." But not just performing miracles, not just healing the sick. But look, when Peter came time for Peter to give his life, there was something still holding him. Here he was faced with death. He didn't say, "Well, hold on, wait a minute, fellas. Let's talk about this. Now, what will it take for you not to kill me? No. They were going to crucify Peter, and Peter said, look, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. He said, crucify me upside down. And he willingly gave his life. Paul's ministry manifested that Jesus Christ was alive. Now, it wasn't just a manifestation because that there were healings that took place. It was a manifestation because as the people believed, they received the Holy Ghost. They received the same Spirit. The evidence of the resurrection didn't just stay in Paul, but it came alive in them. And their lives became evidence that Jesus was rose from the dead. Gospel, Brother Branham said, is not the word alone. Now, the word of God is a seed. Jesus gave the parable. We already mentioned it. Jesus gave the parable about the seed that is sown of the word. And it says, and some of the seed fell in good ground. And it gave forth, it produced. The word of God tells us in the book of Genesis, every seed, this is the word of God, every seed will bring forth of its own kind. Look, friends, the poor church members of the organization, that they can only bring forth what's been sown in them. And here's the sad thing. There's people who claim to believe this end time truth that have actually had seeds sown in them of false, of another gospel actually. In other words, that it means something else. Well, they can only produce what they have and what's been sown in them. But now, you take a farmer, when he sows a seed, whatever seed he sows, that's what the seed is that's going to come up. But when a farmer sows a seed, let's say that he was going to plant corn. And when the farmer sows that seed, he gets the ground ready. He has to clean that ground out and break that ground up and make it ready to receive the seed. But after he plants a seed, he doesn't go out there every day and say, now, let me dig down here and see if that seed's doing anything. No, he plants it and he lets it there. Now, I know us, you know, maybe you have your gardens, you know, and you start to go through a drought or something like that, you know, and so you run water hoses out there to try to water your garden and all that. But I'll tell you something. A farmer that's got acres and acres of corn, wheat, and all these other grains and things planted and everything, he can't run water hoses out there to water all of his fields. So he's got to plant that seed, and then he's got to wait for nature. He's got to wait for rain to come and wet that seed to make that seed to germinize. Germatize, I think, is actually the way to say that word. And he's got to wait for it to germatize. And he's got it, and then he waits, and then after some time, eventually, there'll be a little something green come up out of the ground. And he knows, okay, that seed has been germatized. It's come forth. It's showing some life. But it ain't mature yet. Now, I know in our gardens, we go out there and we hoe around the the plants and we do this to kind of keep the ground loose, all that kind of stuff. But these farmers in these great big fields and that, they can't
do that. There's no equipment to be able to really do that once that seed starts to come up.
They just got to let it there.
And it's got to be rained on. It's got to receive water. It's got to receive sunshine.
Friends, look.
That is an actual testimony that there is a life somewhere.
You know, you say, well, science can do this. No, all science can do is try to produce the effects of things, but it still takes water, it still takes light, it still takes these things to bring these things to pass. You know, and when science creates a seed, that's what we call a hybrid seed. And that hybrid seed, the corn will come up and it'll produce an ear of corn, but if you take the kernels off that corn and take it back out there and plant it, ain't nothing going to happen because there's no life in it. But you take the original seed that was planted, an original seed that was planted. When it comes up, what it produces has life in it. And if you take what it produces and take it back out there and plant it again, it's going to produce again because there is a life there. And that life just going to keep coming up. So when the life of Christ has come alive in us, and we take that word and not just delivering a letter, but bringing a life, a power, the Spirit with the letter. Amen. Then what it'll do, it'll produce the same thing again.
Brother Bram says in the Church of the Living God, that message, he says, you know, you take, for instance, if people were, they were cold, they were freezing to death. He said, and you would tell them, look, fire can warm you. And they said, what is fire? I said, well, I want to show you what fire is. I got a picture here of it. And I'll show you what fire looks like. Brother Bam said, all that is a painted fire. It's just paint on canvas. And he said, you would take that out and give it to people and say, here, get warm by it. He said, they can't get warm by it. It could actually even be a photograph taken of people getting warm by a real fire. It's not going to help them. Because all it is a photograph of something that happened. And Brother Branham said, the written word is just a picture of history. So when you bring to people just the written word, just the Bible, all you're showing them is written words of history. That's not proving that Jesus is alive. But Brother Adam said, if you receive the same seed that they received back on the day of Pentecost, then it'll produce in you the same life that it produced in them. What he said it is it's not a painted fire, but to actually get warmed by it, you got to reproduce that fire again. And Jesus Christ had that fire of God in him. It was reproduced into the disciples on the day of Pentecost. There, when Paul met Jesus on the road there and with a great light in that, it was reproduced in Paul. And when Paul preached and he went down, he laid hands on people and preached the gospel to them, that same fire was reproduced in them. And it proved that Jesus Christ was alive.
I think of when I studied on this, I thought about that song. We got to raise him up out of history. Hallelujah. How's that song go? I heard all about it. No way we can doubt it. The wonderful things that he's done. We had to raise him up out of history, Brother Branham says, and show that he's alive today. Not just that he arose in history, but that he is alive today. And you can't show it the same way he showed it to the disciples when he came and appeared to them, because, friends, look, Jesus Christ isn't coming back to this world in that body to the unbelievers. This world will never see him that way again until the day of judgment. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the believers. When the resurrection happens, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Only those who have actually already been quickened in their lives are going to be raised on that day. Only those that actually had a spiritual resurrection already take place in their heart are going to receive a physical resurrection on that day. And those that, as the scripture says, those that are alive and remain when the coming of the Lord happens, then, friends, the resurrection, the spiritual resurrection that's happened in your life, that spirit that brought that about is going to quicken your mortal body and you'll be changed.
Amen.
And Jesus is coming back for us. The church organization, they'll never see him again until the day of judgment. And no matter what people say they believe, no matter what books they got, if they haven't been identified with that in their life, friends, I'm going to tell you something. They're not receiving a body change. They're not going anywhere. Look, it's not just claiming to believe a message. It's not just, look, the scripture tells us that. He said, you say, I believe in God. He said, well, you do well. Even the devils in hell believe in God. Well, I believe in the message. Look, the devils in hell know about the message now. Look, the devils in hell have heard enough of this message to have a good intellectual conception of it. That's why they can deceive people that only have a mental, intellectual conception of it. But those who has took part in the resurrection, who's actually had that resurrection of Christ take place in their heart, they cannot be deceived. Why do people walk away from this message? Because that never happened in their life. That never happened in their heart.
Amen.
Just saying you believe the Bible ain't good enough. You got to live it. Just saying you believe the message ain't good enough. You got to live it. Listen to what Brother Branham says here when he preached, when he was preaching the church ages back in 1960. And he was preaching this in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and he was preaching in the Philadelphian church age. And he said, brotherly love, that the Philadelphian church was the age of brotherly love. It was a great age of missionaries. The world has never seen that time. It even goes over into our time. When the world ever seen such a time of missionaries everywhere? And I'd say the last 150 years, it's been one of the most outstanding times of the world history for missionaries getting into all parts of the world with the gospel. He says, as far as literally just sending the message of the gospel on paper and tracts and books and so forth, The gospel has long ago went to every nation under heaven long ago. So, you see, that goes to prove that that wasn't what Jesus was talking about. He never said go into all the world and make Bible schools. He didn't say go into all the world and pass out literature. Those things are fine. But his commission to the church was go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is not altogether the word, but it's making the word come to life. Look, friends, I believe it's a great thing, you know, that has been done to spread the message of this hour into the other countries, and that, you know, and to translate the books into their languages so they can read this for themselves. To, you know, there's actually even been at one time there was tapes that were made where they had an individual that they would play part of the tape of Brother Branham, and then somebody would interpret that part in Spanish, and then they were sending these messages out down into Central America, where I think it was a Brother Cardona that was doing it and doing the interpretation and things and that, and so they could hear it, you know, and but then in a lot of these many nations, friends. One of the things that has been happening in their education systems, even in Central America, I saw it back in 1995, they were giving classes to the children in the high schools and that to teach them English. So there's many of them that now can actually, you know, and there's some that can't, obviously, but there's many that have been educated that can actually read English, can actually hear it in English. A very large percent in the Philippines actually can speak and read English. Of course, there are some of the poor places out in the villages and things like that that they can't. And that's why there were people like Brother Orwell and brothers that are still there that actually could read and write in English and hear in English and that actually studied on the message. God actually called them to the ministry, and then they took the message out into the areas they couldn't hear in English or read in English, and they presented the message unto them. But it wasn't just telling them the prophet said this and the prophet said that, but it was manifesting the message is alive. That the message wasn't about words. The message just wasn't. Friends, look, the message wasn't the essence of the message. Actually, isn't that God sent a prophet? Amen. God sent a prophet to bring us what the essence of the message is. And the essence of the message is Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. The prophet never pointed the people to a church. Matter of fact, he spoke many times against people being pointed to churches and memberships and so on. What he pointed them to was Christ. He said, that's what we need to get people to, is Jesus Christ. And friends, this message is getting people to Jesus Christ. Because it's showing that what the word spoke of. Look, when we say God sent a prophet, what are we actually saying? We're not actually pointing at the man and saying, look how this is a great man, we need to follow him. What we're saying is the word of God promised that he would send Malachi 4:5, and he did. And we don't just stop there, but we say Malachi 4:5 came to turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Look, Jesus' first commission to the church was in Matthew 10. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely as you receive, freely give. But his last message to the church was, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Yeah, hands. I'm going to tell you something. When somebody comes here and God delivers them out of devils, that's proving that Jesus Christ is still alive today. Remember when those bunch of religious fellas went down there and tried to cast out them devils, and they said, we come in the name of Jesus. We come in, the Jesus that Paul preached about. We know Paul and all that, and Peter and that, and the devil spoke back to them, said, Paul I know, Peter I know, man, Jesus I know, but who are you? Because they didn't have the manifestation of the life and power in them. But Paul had the manifestation of that life living in him. That's why when they took prayer cloths off the body of Paul and took and laid it on sick people, they were healed. It wasn't because of who Paul was. It was because of the life that was in Paul. It was because of the life that anointed Paul. It wasn't the essence of Paul. It was the essence of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ is alive. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. Look, friends, look. We're not trying to reproduce a ministry. God sent a prophet to this age. He gifted him in a special way. He sent him with a special commission. He anointed him with a special ministry of a prophet in the end time. He said it'll come a time when you can tell the secrets of people's hearts. Amen. So there a man stood there, and God speaking through him, that life speaking through him, tell people their name, where they were from, what their address was. I see you in a bed. I see a doctor coming. I see somebody praying. We don't need to reproduce that ministry today. What we need is the Jesus Christ that ministry introduced.
Amen.
Look, friends, we're never going to see another man stand here that God actually is working through to call people out and tell them their name and where they're from and their secrets and all this and that. But Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you watch and think about how many times the Holy Spirit has come down and spoke through this pulpit and actually brought out things that you talked about at home that I had no idea you talked about. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ. That was the life of Jesus proving that he was alive today. And he's proven he's alive because he was there when you had that conversation. Our commission is not for all of us to be running around telling people what their name is and where they're from and all this and that. And that's not what our commission is. Friends, look. Our commission is to preach the gospel. Our commission is actually, and the preaching isn't just talking about it. It ain't just giving good speeches or sermons. It's actually producing that Jesus Christ is alive. Now, let's think about this one. I'm going to close. I don't even know what time it is. How is it producing? Well, I can't change you. I can't do nothing in your life. I'm a man. But the word that is preached under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and friends, it isn't my intellect that puts all these things together. Sure, God give me a gift to be able, for what? For him to be able to move down and move through me and put all that together and speak it to you. And he uses me like a microphone. But you believe that word. And it's not my words. Because if it was my words you were believing, it wouldn't do nothing. But it is the word of God that is being manifest to you, and you believe that, and then it produces in your life.
Amen.
Look what the preaching of the gospel, how it's changed your lives over the years. You're not the same person you were 25 years ago. And it's not because of Jerry Browning. It's because of Jesus Christ. Jerry Browning just happened to be the individual God sent here and said, I'm going to use him to do this. Because he's got to have somebody to speak through. He's got no hands but our hands, no mouth but our mouth. So he's got to have a mouth to speak through. So he speaks through the mouth of his preachers. But it's not so that men will think how great a man this preacher is.
Oh, yeah.
And people flock to that preacher.
Oh, yeah.
That's not what this message is. This message is to produce in you that Jesus Christ has rose from the dead. That he is alive today. You think about the preachers that at one time preached this message. They got up and they gave sermons. They delivered sermons. They read quotes. They spoke from the Bible. And they presented things about this message. And now they've turned their back on it and say the message is false, it's wrong, and have tried to turn people away from it. Some of them were great speakers. Many of them had people to flock after them because they were flocking to a man. And that's why some of them left with them when they left. But the thing about it was they were not able to produce the life. No matter how great their words might have sounded, how wonderful their sermons may have been and sounded. All it was words. Good words. Inspiring maybe words even. A lot of it was just psychology. There had been no life produced in them. So there was nothing to hold them. That's why they've left. And as the prophet said, false teachers, that's what Brother Branham called them. False teachers, he says, brings false births. What were they birthed to? They weren't birthed to Jesus Christ. They were birthed to a man. Those that were birthed to a man, that's why they left when the man left. There have been people that have been birthed to the theology of this message. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. That ain't no different than the theology being birthed to the theology of an organization. Well, Brother Branham never brought us theology, but men have taken things and quotes and things and what he said and have made their own theologies. Manifest the gospel. That's what preaching the gospel is, manifesting it. Not just giving people, like I said, giving them books and tracts and giving them audio recordings and that. That's great. That's I believe that's needed, and I believe it's great. I believe it's very helpful. I believe it's very needed. But doing that alone is not manifesting the gospel. That's actually pointing that Brother Branham manifested the gospel in his day. But Brother Branham, friends, he wasn't sent just to manifest the gospel in his day, but he was sent to sow this truth, sow this word, so that it would continue to manifest in people today. You think about it. You know, many times we think now, because especially, you know, maybe young people, maybe you've been around the message your whole life, and it's all you've known and everything else and that, you know, and you visited this church in the message and that church in the message and this church in the message. Look, friends, back in 1965, that didn't exist. When the prophet left the scene, that did not exist. But the seed had been sown. And there was men that heard the gospel. Maybe they heard it. It was introduced to them. They heard it on the voice, you know, the voice from a tape. But God anointed them and it called them to preach the gospel. And they took what they heard and they preached it. And churches began to form. People began to come on out of the organizations. And we got all these churches today that we consider message churches. Why? Because the word was manifest. The word that was brought by the prophet was manifest. And this is what it's produced. But it didn't just produce churches. It produced the life of Jesus Christ in people again. There's many churches that have been produced. And there's people in them, friends, that they say they believe the message. Look, friends, I'm not trying to be critical. And maybe if you hadn't been around, you wouldn't know, but I've been all over the place. I've dealt with down in Central America and the Philippines and other places where, friends, false doctrine, people that were ministers claiming to be representatives of this message went preaching false doctrine. And they led churches astray and they established churches with it. You say, what power did they have? Well, I'll tell you, I got firsthand testimony from the real brothers called of God in those countries, and they say what these ministers done, they came in with wads of money and just started giving out money. We'll support you if you preach what we're preaching. You say, that's horrible. It had to be. Because the gospel is a great net that's been thrown out, and it gathers in all kinds. There's been all kinds that's been pulled in by this gospel net of this end time message. And so God allows false prophets to come to weed them out. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we went long today. Father, I really didn't think this service was going to go long, but I see, Lord, that it has. But God, we just was going as you led us, dear God. And God, just trying to bring an actual message to the people of what really Easter means to us today. That Easter doesn't just mean that you rose 2,000 years ago. But Lord, the message of it to us today is that you are alive today in us. Lord, you being alive in us is what's changed our lives. It's what made us what we are today. And God, we are testimony. Our lives is testimony that you are alive to all others that witness our lives. God, there's been those, Lord, around, Father, in the families and communities and things around here, God, they have actually witnessed the change that has happened in the lives of these individuals here. And God, whether they want to try to ignore it or whatever, God, they've been witness to it. And so they're accountable. But God, that's not what we pray. What we pray, God, is that somehow the witness from these lives, God, will actually speak something to those lives. God, we want us, what we're looking for, God, we're not just looking, we think, well, we want our families to be safe, and that's true, that is our desire. But really what we're looking for is the last seed so we can get out of here. Wherever that last seed is, whoever it is. And God, as I've said so many times, you know, perhaps there will be a day that the very last seed will come in. But there's got to be a last seed that will come in this area. There's got to be a last seed that will come in that has been affected by our lives. And that's what we're looking for. Bless your people today. Bless them on their Easter and their family and that, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.